Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's January 26, 2016, and this is, guess what, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California. Here at Lupin, clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, probably the best natural raw food, healthy and delicious, crunchy goodies. The other sponsor is Universe Spirit. Universe Spirit is in the vanguard of people and energies and organizations addressing this imminent global problem, which is climate destabilization. Tonight's focus is You're Speaking My Language. And by the way, did you know that there are about 7,000 languages in the world? So the odds against you speaking my language are fairly high. But 1/4 of the world's population speaks at least some English. So that helps. But then again, one language dies at about every 14 days. But the Bible is available in 2,454 languages, and the Pope tweets in 9 languages. We should be good to go. Rochelle and I, of course, will be speaking Striderese, which, unlike Chinese, that has 50,000 characters, we have only 2 characters.
Me? And you.
Yes. Plus our delight in characters that will hopefully join us this week. But you can decide for yourself as you're listening tonight if we speak the same language or if we may need a mediator.
No, interpreter.
Interpreter. That's even better. Anyway, let's see what we can agree on, speaking of my language, and find out what we may disagree on, because that will certainly be an opportunity to enrich our conversation and charge up our growth.
That's possible only if we disagree and no buttons are being pushed. Because when people disagree with me, some buttons get pushed. It's like a difficult thing when people disagree with me. It's not just they disagree with me and I have an opinion and they have an opinion, it's fine. But way back in my past, there's this, if you don't agree with me, I'm wrong. And it hurts so much to be wrong that it's difficult to hear you after that. I don't know where I go, but it's not in the present, that's for sure.
It raises the question for me as you say that, what would the language I would need to be speaking if I were like at my best and wisest in that moment and most present that could allay your fear? Because that's what it is. It's the fear if you're wrong, you're going to be punished and you're bad. And if you're bad, you're going to become some version of smithereens.
I don't know. I remember something about somebody saying, like, you're all right. You're all right. You haven't done anything wrong. To be reminded of that when I'm in the middle of wanting to defend myself, that I haven't done anything wrong. It comes like maybe an hour later after I've exhausted all the pummeling.
I have to tell you, when you say you haven't done anything wrong, you're speaking my language.
Oh.
Because everything in me wants to believe that. And it's almost like I want to take a breath and allow that possibility in and to eat of it and to take that language, those words, that meaning, the possibility that that meaning points to, the consequences of the possibility that it points to, that I have not done anything wrong.
This obliteration of shame.
Yeah.
And I think shame has got such a foothold in my growing up that it's hard to obliterate.
There was a guy, we attended a conference many years ago, and his specialty was shame. This was in the recovery movement and mm-hmm. just the kind of shame you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's my point of view that the foundation for our amazing, let's call it neuroses, is fear. That fear is the driving force that when it's elongated, not just your little adrenaline rush that gets you out of the way of the big bad pussycat. No, we're talking about ongoing fear, which is essentially the ego. The ego is ongoing fearness, this constant spasm. Remember we said, Thomas Merton said, the ego is a spasm? Of course it's a spasm. It's just locked in fear of the possible terrible consequences that may happen if I don't do the right thing.
And that fear is not corporeal, because the ego isn't matter. It isn't flesh and blood. The ego is in our minds. It's our sense of ourself rather than ourself. It's an image of ourselves, and we have to hold on to that just the way we hold on to ourselves, because that's what fear is all about, afraid of losing yourself. So if you have an imagined self, you're just as much afraid of losing that as the corporeal self.
There you have it. You're speaking my language.
There you have it.
Really?
You're speaking my language.
We're going to do a show on There You Have It, possibly one night. So back to the question of speaking one's language. When one feels a resonance with someone else, oh, ye listeners, let me ask you right now, when you are in a relationship with someone where you feel close and the flow is there, it's a good friend, it's a good moment, your lover, your kid, whatever. When you have those moments where you feel that energy and you could be saying as a subtext, you're speaking my language.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you can translate words real fast when you're in that space.
It's amazing how far we've come from an evolutionary perspective with language itself. I was thinking just the other day as I was using complex thoughts just like this or any other thought that's a bunch of words put together in some kind of meaning, however profound or not profound it is, to the beginning grunts. Mm. Which meant, don't slobber over my fur. I hate that.
I just had this thought that language, as it evolved, just moved to higher and higher levels of our brain, because the lowest level of the brain, which is the survival level, don't discount it. It's real important, or we wouldn't be here right now. You just get your needs met that way. So a grunt, if it's done at certain decibels, definitely can scare away the perpetrator. As we evolved, I think the ego came alive. That was the part of this particular part of evolution. Because language then defines us, our images and metaphors and everything else. It's not just about survival anymore. We start talking about us as an expanded us.
This is a good time to bring in Professor Umbridge. I'm sure you've got something to say about speaking our language. You sort of speak our language. Professor?
I'm delighted, of course. I wouldn't be with you if you didn't speak my language. And it's perfectly all right if you don't speak my language. Some people grow up with their parents, for example, speaking another language besides, let's say, English. And there you are, kind of left outside of the cold there, when they're not speaking your language, but they're speaking some language that they understand, that they do not want you to be a part of, because it's a secret.
That's right. Professor Umbridge, I grew up with grandparents who English was a second language and spoke to me a foreign language, but I always sort of understood them. I didn't understand the words, but I understood sort of like the feelings behind the words. If it was really a secret and they moved into this foreign language, it was because they were speaking about something they shouldn't hear would scare me.
Well, in my culture, that's not quite so easy to happen, because remember, people from the UK speak with a stiff upper lip, and it's not stiff for nothing. You try speaking with a stiff upper lip, and you'll just see how challenging it can be. So give do as do. The British speak with a stiff upper lip. So the language is kind of straight forward, but with not too many bends in it, and they kind of add words to go along a track of keeping it stiff and upper. Something like that.
Very good, Professor Umbridge. Stiff upper lip you are. I like to share this with you. When I met Errol, the whole thing was about the fact that he spoke my language, that I understood him, and when I started to speak, he understood me. And so few people did at that time in my life. To find someone who spoke my language, who understood what drove me, to understood what mattered to me, because the same thing mattered to him, and the same thing drove him. That was really astounding, to tell you the truth. And I think that as our consciousness evolves, it gets harder and harder to find words to express it, because it feels like it's beyond a language. It's another language. It's beyond the word language, and we haven't quite developed that language yet.
It's beyond the mind, necessarily. Language is limited by what the mind can do with it. So at this point, to kind of help ourselves get started, there may be a part of us that's aching and asking and needing to be spoken to.
Like it always does, but the shadows are longer this time. And I know, as I let it go, for a minute everything was alright. I'm just lying here tonight, just trying to hold on. There's a silver lining, it's trying to shine, but it can't get through. When the dark is blinded and I can't find my way to you, speak.
What if I were to catch the sound of me? Would it be echoes of storms in a cavern? Or the twang of a guitar string pinched between two nodes? Would the sound I make whistle as I rush to hear it? Or become magnified as I bang into walls of impressions of myself?
How would my sound be heard by others? As a cry, a weep, or a big belly laugh caught by moths in a damp lagoon? Shall I sound myself with words and grunts, hums and screams, or waves that go unnoticed? Is my sound a harmony, or the crash of cars in an old junkyard?
Do factories imitate the sound I make, or planes with a sonic boom?
Why can't I hear the sound of me when I am alone in my vacuous cell. That uttered noise falls into itself like a ball thrown into the air.
It seems I cannot know my sound as it vibrates away from me.
I must either run to another sphere and catch it,
or wait for it to bounce off a willing receiver.
Or wait for it to bounce off a willing receiver.
That was Speak to Me, the music of a group called Nashville.
And that was The Sound of Me, a poem by Errol, read by Errol and I.
The two characters. Hey, let's bring in Barney, see what he has to say about speaking your language. Come on in, Barney. What do you got to tell us about speaking our language? Well, it's funny you should bring that up tonight, because I was just talking with the boys. We were down at Luigi's having some pizza and some beers. And the boys were all sitting there saying, what do you care about? You know, why should you care about anything? Like the politics thing, people raise that question. Why should you care about it? Is this candidate speaking my language? Is that candidate speaking my language? Or any of the candidates speaking my language? What would they need to be saying? We started talking about there in the bar for them to be speaking my language. We all decided it would be some form of, you're okay, don't worry, we got you covered.
Is that the language that's most spoken?
That's the language we'd like to hear. You're okay, don't worry, we've got you covered. And I said to them, my experience is that's precisely why I tune into the broadest possibility of existence possible, what a lot of people call God, but it's just the all of it. That's all happening under its own steam, evidently, because everything keeps going. But as I allow myself to kind of listen and say, what does the whole of it want? And so I start doing things just for the whole of it, because the whole has an agenda. It includes all the parts, but it's more than just the sum of the parts. You can't even count them. It's that big it is. But the whole has a perspective, and we stop. We can actually, I found this out, Rochelle, tune in to that whole of it, part of us, with all the wisdom that is. All I have to do is, one of the guys says, yeah, shut the F up. That was what he said. Yeah, I didn't want to say the F word because people aren't comfortable talking about faith. But anyway.
Very funny, Barney. Well, yeah, you get still, you listen, and you hear. Sometimes our brains are going so fast that we can't hear anything. I mean, we're trying to figure everything out or trying to take care of things or finagle a way to make the next second work for us because we don't believe it would unless we did something about it.
I better get hold of the next second because it's going to come and it won't know what to do with itself. And so I better do some research. So then the next second shows up and it's going, what? We'll be able to say, go that way or pick that up or say
exactly.
That.
Exactly. We have such a need to control our lives. That's really driven by fear that if we didn't control our lives, we would not be able to make it. We would fall apart. And of course, there's some validity in that in the world in which we live, which is very future oriented.
And it's dangerous.
People do bad things to each other, especially around money. We've made money such an incredible god. And you see, most people speak the money language. You and I, we're adults. We're not adults. We're adults. We don't speak the money
language. I'm adult. I always thought they were saying you're an adult, but no, they were saying you're a adult. I see that now.
It really is a language. And one speaks it well. They manipulate events and money to benefit them, and they live a very
prosperous life.
Yeah. You know, they have all the things that the TV and media and magazines and books and billboards tell them they need, and they have them, so they feel very satisfied.
But that's one reason I appreciate our little modest lifestyle here. We had some rains. I left the bottom of my tent open. My tent is my office. And the rugs got very wet and smelly. And then I was looking around the space, and I thought, I'm going to have to clean it out. And then I went, okay, you really do have to clean it out. It's pretty messy. So let this be an excuse. And I embraced it, and I'm moving on. And that's something that I've learned when I spoke the language of truth, when I listened and heard it. Because what I heard is, if you don't resist something that's coming at you that you don't like, for example, and just play with it, get creative with it, it'll open up all kinds of possibilities that, quite frankly, were denied you until you were willing to open up to that discomfort and the message that it had for you.
I'm trying to remember her name, Deborah. She told that story about the guy who came in and was really upset with her and everything. And she heard him, and she just became creative. And she was down on the floor kicking in her heels and saying, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I let this man down. And she just acted out this whole scenario in front of him. And he became like this pussycat. Instead of yelling and screaming at her and making her bad, she just went with it. And he was apologizing, being so nice and everything else to her. And I thought, I want to be able to do that all the time. Once in a blue moon, literally, I can do that. You know, like if I do something that I could see right away somebody's going to be mad at me for, to get into, oh, I know you could be mad at me, and I don't think I can stand it, and I'm going to fall apart and all that stuff.
That's why you're given all these opportunities to practice, so you can get to precisely the place that you want to get to, which is be able to flow with it and do some Aikido with it and move with it. And speaking of Aikido, and speaking of what Deborah did, she lied on the floor and she allowed herself, and this is critical in terms of communication, to fully embody the emotional state that she was feeling. One of the main issues in our culture is that we don't speak very well our primary language. You say English or something's a secondary language. Actually, whatever is your first language, that's your second language. Because your first language is the language of the body.
Or feelings.
It's the body. That's your language. We live in a culture where we kind of educated away from that language. And so we don't use that language very well, especially when it comes to sharing our emotions. We feel we have to hold back. And the hold back creates a tension. And that tension spills out as violence and anger and abuse and yelling, because the resistance to being able to express it in the way that it's meant to be expressed, which is in and through the body. So when someone like Deborah lies down on the ground and is writhing but acting out, what's going on with
her?
But
a lot of people do express it through the body, but it's anger, and they hit the person who's upset with them. They are expressing it through the body, which is not exactly the same as owning their feelings to themselves and not laying it on the other person. There's that part that you can't leave out. I see people expressing their feelings all the time through their body. They're hitting each other.
Wait a minute. You just said something that really got my attention. That part you can't keep out. Wow, that's a showstopper. Imagine somebody coming up to you and something has just been said to you, oh, ye listeners. And you said, and that part you can't keep out. Doesn't that get you to wonder, keep out of what?
Leave out.
Leave out. Yeah, that part you can't leave out. Why can't you leave out? Because it's a necessary piece of the puzzle, all of which is conspiring to make you, as well as each of us, more and more fully a expression of your most essential self. So was that your language?
You're speaking my language.
I love that I'm speaking your language. Sometimes we just want to hear, though, that cry that comes from that deep place of the soul. And we want to hear from that transcendent something out there. Speak to us. Ease that.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Won't you speak to me?
Speak to me.
I was so blind.
Speak, Lord.
I was so low.
Speak to me.
Until you spoke to
speak,
me.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
And heal my mind.
Speak to me.
Oh, with your word.
Speak, Lord.
And heal my soul.
Speak to me.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
I love you, Lord.
Speak to me.
You saved my soul.
Speak, Lord.
Burning in a hell.
Speak to me.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Yeah, speak to me.
Speak to me. Speak, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Speak to me.
I love you, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
You saved my soul.
Speak to me.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Oh, you save my soul.
Speak to me.
I'm burning in hell.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
I'm going to listen.
Speak, Lord.
I've got to listen.
Speak to me.
I'm gonna listen.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Oh, speak.
That is Tega, and I have to get her last name for you. I had it, and then it slipped away. So I'm gonna go visit it and see if it will speak to me.
There's a lot of language that doesn't speak to me. But the fact that these people were singing, and the singing spoke to me, the music spoke to me, voices spoke to me, but not all the language in that spoke to me. That's an interesting thing right there. That's why entertainment is such an amazing way to project thoughts, because we get wrapped up in the emotional body of the characters, and they could say anything. And sometimes it'll penetrate because we're listening because we care about them. And sometimes it won't penetrate. We just care about them. Our son said something interesting about that movie Lucy we saw. He said, if they had just stayed on the theme of wanting you to understand that we don't use our whole brain, and this is what happens to us when we use our whole brain, you would have fallen asleep. But they turned it into a thing with people shooting each other and trying to get stuff. And that carried the thoughts with it. It was like a turbulent train, but the thoughts were on it. And so we were able to take the ride and hear the thoughts if we wanted to, if we were capable of it. But otherwise, it's just an entertaining movie.
Good evening there. This is Father O'Malley. Well, hi, Father. Glad you could join us. What do you got on this subject of speaking my language? Oh, I run into lots of people a lot of times, and they come to the parish. They want me to speak their language, and their language is some version of poor me. And I don't speak poor me very well. But they speak it very well, and these you might call them the victims. There's a lot of people who are the victims. And then there's other language that a lot of people speak that I don't speak very well either, and that's, it's all about me. Lots of people speak that language there, and most of the people that come in. And so what I try and do is help them to see that the me is the we, and the me isn't lost in the we. It's just as much there as a matter of fact, darling. It's even more there the more you're part of the we, because you get that extra alphabet letter.
See, before you had the M-E, but now you got the W, and yeah, the W-M-E, but they just took out the M, and sure enough, there it is, the we.
So I want to ask you something, Father. Do you feel that you have those people that are coming and asking to be healed, who it's all about me, and the way that you can heal them is show them that the me is a we?
Well, I become the we with them, is what happens to say there. It's kind of a sneaky thing, but as soon as they're in relationship to me there, we are the we. So we've just made that shift, and as a result of that, they're going to get nurtured and served in some way, because I don't have any other agenda but to see that happens. And who knows, I most likely will be nurtured and served at the same time. And that's what's such a good thing about the we over just the me. So you get the two for one. So you get more than one person nurtured for the same amount of energy, effort, and talking, or whatever language you used that went into it.
Okay.
Double your money. Double your bet.
I was thinking, not just when you were talking, but bringing up this sound that communicate, that is a language that we can understand, because I think you're speaking my language. But you have a very primitive being, which is a baby. Baby is a primitive us. And it cries. And a new mother doesn't really always know what that cry means. You try out certain things. But there's a time in a mother relationship with a child where you start to hear the difference between the cries, that there's a discomfort cry, and then there's a I'm hungry cry, and there's I'm tired cry, and that they really are different, and it's very subtle. Sometimes I was able to pick it up when I was a parent.
So we're talking about the language of crying.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. I notice when we're with our grandchild and the parents with us, and other people do this with their kids, we talk what's considered baby talk, or some abbreviation of a kind of talk that you and I are having right now, for example. We just make these sounds. Oh, well, baby, do it.
You don't do that with Ella.
Well, other people do, I'm saying. And always, Ella, yeah, you know, whatever. We don't just talk. And I'm thinking, why not? Why not just talk with as much expression as you want to put into it, but say things that are going to be really meaningful? Like, when you're an adult, you're going to experience all kinds of different things than you're experiencing now.
She wouldn't understand a word you were saying.
Of course not. But why not just as easily say that I could as anything else I might say? Because at some point when she gets to that thought in her life, which may be 20 years later, it may register, oh, I heard that.
I have another thing about talking straight talk to infants who don't speak yet, is to speak about our relationship. Because it's right there in the face of the child. Like I was talking to her about, this is my nose. This is my mouth. These are my eyes. And you have eyes and a nose and a mouth too. Because I was introducing her to the features of her face. And I think that with an infant, you become a teacher.
I like that. As a matter of fact, when Rochelle and I first met, she reintroduced me to the features of my face. No, really. When I met Rochelle, I had a big face of hair.
You looked like a grizzly. I loved what you looked like.
But she modified me because at a certain point I shaved. And you saw me in the bed with you? What was your reaction when you looked over and I was clean shaved?
There was a stranger in my bed. Where did he come from?
Who's that guy?
It took only a second to realize that the language that he emanated was Errol's language. It wasn't his face, but the language beneath his physical being was Errol. And then I got that he had a different face.
Well, it reminds me of an incident described in the Urantia book about Yeshua, Jesus, and his resurrection experiences. According to the story, whether you think it's real or a myth or whatever, but according to the story, when people who had known him, they did not recognize his incarnated new body, this kind of new and improved body.
The other one had holes in it.
Yeah,
blood all over it.
Right, yeah, it was not a good... Anyway, it said when he spoke, they recognized him right away. So there was something about how he communicated. I don't know that the voice he had would have been the same voice that he had in the body.
Well, maybe the love that they experienced from him was clear. You know, love has flavors.
I think cinnamon is a flavor of love, by the way.
You have a definite, when you smell cinnamon, you feel love. The love that we have that has no definition and knows no boundaries would necessarily take on any color, shape, form that exists because it's boundless. It also can manifest into anything it wants.
You're speaking my language. Love is life. Life is love in action. So let's just speak life.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. So it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. A broken live or die. So speak life. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine. Words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. The love like fire, hope will fall like rain. When you speak life with the words you say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say.
Speak life, says Toby Mac.
Ah, you're speaking my language, Toby Mac.
Well, listen to it without the music. It's really worth listening to. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope. You speak love. You speak life. Then he goes on to say, lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say.
Well, life is about practicing to move forward, to spread love, to become love, to expand consciousness. It's a practice, and you have to know what you're practicing. If you don't know you're practicing that, you think you're just practicing survival. The minute you get to the place where you're practicing expanding consciousness, being a lover, in the agape sense, you're practicing this, then everything that happens to you, every interaction is a school that you're in and a way to practice it, every interaction. And I think the first and most important thing, and this is a language that I'm learning, is to trust the language of my own pain, that it's telling me something. And my reaction to it, of course, to protect myself can be virulent, but nevertheless, to realize that I'm in that space and to listen. Listen to what's really going on beneath all the
agitation.
Thank you. That's a good word. You're speaking my language.
See, we both spoke that language together. It was great. We gave birth to that word together because I saw you thinking it. But I got to it quicker because I have a file cabinet right next to my right ear.
You're very fast, much faster than I am. I take a lot longer to get to where you go to.
In some areas, and it's reverse in others. Speaking of which, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. And we're having this conversation, and our program is sponsored by Go Raw. Go Raw is all natural food, and it's good and good for you. What more can I say? It's the best of both worlds. It's a truly win-win eating issue. It's not one of those contradictory issues where sensuality comes up against vanity. That's it. Battles between sensuality. Oh, I want to eat all that, man, but I'll put on so much weight, says the vanity. You know, you look like a fatso and you want to stay thin. Yeah, boo, but it tastes so good. I just want to stuff my mouth and feel it's good. Yeah, but if you do, you're not going to be attractive and you won't get to your other needs. Back and forth.
Ah, and right? Some people just don't care anymore. They just eat what they want and and they go, screw it. I don't care. Body types are very interesting. Here we live in a place called Lupin Lodge, which is a naturist community where people can be naked, socially naked, just walk around naked. Let your body be seen. The body is that we try to hide with clothes, at least I do. To be just out there with all your wrinkles and your little fat pouches and your whatever, not looking like
a
model, you know, who's out there, but you're just out there, and it really can produce great freedom in you because nobody looks like they care. They're just going through the same thing you are, just being naked.
But the other night, what happened, there was an event, quite a few people were there. It might have been New Year's Eve, now that I think about it, because it's cold. Most everybody was dressed, except one guy. He was completely naked, and it was just so interesting to observe this one guy naked in a room full of clothed people. Not that many of these people would probably be unclothed in some other warmer place. He didn't care.
He didn't care.
Speaking in the same language, what language do we speak with you, Professor Schnitzel? Language is a very interesting thing here, especially when you have different languages trying to communicate something. I'd like to remind you, if you haven't seen the movie, Life is Beautiful. There is a scene there where they have been put into jail by the Nazis, and the father and his son, who's like about 6 or 7 years old. The mean Nazi guy comes in yelling in German, but these are Italian, his father and the son. And so the Nazis saying things that are often German, it's like you would be punished. But the father translates to the son. He says, oh, he's talking about the game. We're going to find a big tank, and we're going to all start looking for the tank together, and it's going to be big fun. So he was translating the language of the Nazi mean guy into a language for the child. The child was getting a whole different story of what was happening there with him. It's a very powerful scene there I saw in the movie.
Wow, I forgot about that. That's neat. You're speaking my language. Yep, yep. I grew up in the 40s. I'm a few years older than Errol is. 4.
Oh, okay.
But still that 4 years, in terms of being exposed to media, in my case, it was the movies. And movies of the 40s, they had to end with the bad guys being punished and the good guys being okay. It had to. It was almost like, what do you call it?
It was a law. Congress passed a law. At the end of 1939. Well, right after Scarlett O'Hara.
You're not speaking my language now, because that's not true. My language is true.
Oh. Okay.
But nevertheless, there was something about that. I mean, it was time of war. We wanted to have happy endings. It was a scary time. You went to the movies and you paid good money to have happy endings.
That's right.
And that was the language we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear that language. And so we paid attention to it. Today, people hear that language and they go cheesy, trite, sentimental. They don't want to hear that language. They don't believe it. They've been disillusioned and they've been betrayed. So they don't want to hear happy ending language.
In other words, this is the language of cynicism. It is a felt language because of the betrayal.
Right.
The ever-present betrayal.
Yeah, right. Things are going to work out fine. Right.
This is Rabbi Greenberg. I have something to say about the betrayal. For many people, that's the thing in their life that stops them in their tracks. Because they're having betrayal as they are growing up, and the betrayal betrays them from life, how it should be felt and lived, and it's a shame.
Ashanda, we like to say that they should have a betrayal in their life and not be able to enjoy it. So what many people do, they either become cynical, or they get angry, or they get paranoid, or they go into denial, or they betray themselves, and they end up missing out on this great experience of life, because even though everyone can go on and get other experiences, they'll never have this experience. And so the infinite source that living through each of us is saying, have your experience, fully have your experience, because that's what it's all about. And I'll help you with the experiences that you won't like so much. I'll be there helping you through that. But you have to ask for my help.
The thing is that people ask for the help of the Almighty, but the help they want is to be relieved of the suffering, and then they're not, because they assume that the suffering will go away the way they see the suffering and the way they want it to go away. You talked about on the last week's program, the woman who was being...
Who was raped.
She didn't ask for the thing to go away. She asked to be more than that thing. More than a woman being raped. She didn't use those words. I'm using those words. As a result of it, it turned into something else. Remember that story? Where did we read it? Who came out of the concentration camps and he was just healthier than anybody else and everything?
Of course, the cynical voice says, you know, he was a collaborator, but let's take him at his face value.
Okay. And he said it was love.
Well, what he said was, what happened was when he saw his wife and family shot in front of him, he knew he had to make a choice. And the choice was either go into hate or to choose to love them. He recognized that. And he, according to the story, made the choice to love them, to choose love, basically, in that situation.
And so that's when you speak the language of love, that's a language that takes real work to get to learn that language. It's a hard language to learn. It's very difficult, and to use it and to find people to speak it to.
It does seem to be that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, while we're pondering that and looking at the possibility here of speaking languages and feeling into that experience, hopefully, that you've had, and kind of nurture it like an ember that's just barely happening inside your soul. And in the meantime, let's just speak easy about it, okay?
You stop to warm it up.
out on the ocean, there's no one around, no one to hear a sound. It's just us out here on the ocean, speaking free, away from the city, away from the ears that buck us and judge us. It's so liberating to be free, and my heart slows down, nice and easy. And your breathing will be pleasing. Just speak easy and say what's on your mind. I search for something to compare you to, though long and hard, for a simile true. Now I'm suddenly aware. End the quest. You're beyond compare. So speak easy.
Who sang that?
That would have been a group called 311. And we have to tie it up for the night. It's the time to bring our shadow in. I'm sorry, this is Errol Strider. This is Inside Out. Rochelle, what do our listeners need to remember?
Remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You're speaking my language.
You're speaking mine.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.